Welcome to City Talks, a monthly podcast looking at the big issues facing UK cities and the latest thinking on urban policy. I'm your host, Andrew Carter, from the think tank Centre for Cities. I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome to this edition of City Minutes. I'm Andrew Carter, and today I'm joined by my colleague, Anthony Breach, and we're going to be talking about big sporting events and their role in city regeneration. So, Anne, in 12 months' time, there or thereabouts, Birmingham will be hosting the 2022 Commonwealth Games. You've been having a look at other examples about, you know, how the Olympics or how Commonwealth Games contribute to the economic development of cities in other places. What's your view on that?
So what we can see, Andrew, just from the comparison of, say, London with the Olympic Games and Manchester with the Commonwealth Games 20 years ago, is a pretty mixed picture in some ways, right? We can see that Manchester has enjoyed a very long and successful renaissance since the Commonwealth Games happened in 2002. And if we think of the Commonwealth Games as being one of the building blocks for that renaissance, putting Manchester on the international stage, showing that local governments in the area could deliver big, complex infrastructure projects and management projects, and also just indicating that it was an attractive place for investment and one that was dynamic and on the up, then I think we can say that the example of Manchester shows that, at the very least, the Commonwealth Games did not harm the economic prospects of Manchester. I think for somewhere like London, I think the effects are a bit more mixed. So we can take, for example, the area around the Olympic Park in the East End, which has seen tremendous redevelopment since the Olympic Games happened there in 2012. The neighbourhood around Stratford seeing the largest increase in housing supply of any neighbourhood in England. But the kind of wider benefits for London's economy don't seem to be so visible. Like, we've seen kind of productivity stagnation in London since 2008. We've seen real wages, especially after housing costs, stagnate or even decline at points since 2008. And we haven't really seen much evidence that the Olympic Games alone were able to turn that tide. So I think, it seems to me that sort of the impact of these kind of big sporting events or kind of big convention events or such like are important as part of a wider kind of canvas for economic growth and urban governance within cities.
And that's the way to think about them, as sort of a part of the overall jigsaw of how you think about, developing cities. The archetypal example of that is obviously the 1992 Barcelona Olympics, where a lot has been given to that, to the Olympics, as a kind of kickstart for Barcelona. But actually, within that, it sits in a broader program that Barcelona was undertaking around the time, large-scale infrastructure investments that the Olympics were able to bring and speed up. But actually, they didn't fundamentally change, right?
Yeah, exactly right. And Barcelona was lucky in that the Olympics sort of kicked off, as we've seen, like a global return to the city, right? And Barcelona's been able to bask for decades now in this association between a very successful Olympics and a very successful urban economy as well. And if you take somewhere like Athens, right, in 2004, we actually see, what was broadly considered, a successful Olympic Games in 2004, but the wider kind of economic legacy for Greece since then has not been spectacular. And we have seen the costs of dealing with these kind of very, very large venues, which were left over after the Olympics, has presented a problem for the government of Athens in that time period. So I think it really does depend on both local conditions, national conditions, but then also kind of the global economy as well.
So with that in mind, I mean, what should we be expecting, or what should Birmingham be expecting to get from the games? I mean, obviously, beyond the 2 weeks or whatever it is of the event itself, but what should Birmingham as an economy be expected to get from the games?
So if Birmingham can pull off a similar trick to Manchester and use the Commonwealth Games as a launch pad for further investment and for economic renewal, then I think that would be a big success, and it's totally plausible
as well. We've seen since the 1990s, which is a bit before the Commonwealth Games, that the total amount of jobs in Manchester have increased by 41% over that period. We've seen in Birmingham a smaller increase of 17%. But if the Commonwealth Games can be part of that story and part of the policy push that will help increase jobs growth in Birmingham over the next few decades, then I think that's totally plausible and totally possible. But I think one thing we can't expect is for the Commonwealth Games to close Birmingham's gap with the rest of the country by itself. I don't think many people are suggesting this, that the Commonwealth Games will do all of the heavy lifting, but it can definitely play a role in doing so.
So, I mean, lots of places talk about, you know, legacy effects and having a legacy program. Sometimes they're criticized as being sort of tokenistic and, you know, just simply bidding requirements. But actually, you know, when you look at places like Manchester and London to a degree, or Barcelona, there is something to that, right? There is some sense of thinking about this one-time thing, but putting it into a broader, a longer-term context, really, you know, is the way to proceed. Is that the advice that you would give to not only Birmingham, but other policymakers that are thinking in this sort of space?
Yeah, I think it certainly shows, you know, the power of, you know, if local governments, national governments and businesses are all working together on a common agreed strategic goal, they can actually get quite a lot of stuff done, especially over a multi-year framework. And, you know, a lot of the kind of investment and attention will be dedicated to sporting facilities, you know, arenas and velodromes and swimming pools and, you know, buildings such as those. And, you know, those are great and, you know, can be justified in their own terms. I think we would personally, we would suggest that the economic effects of new sporting facilities is not going to be particularly significant. But if it also means that, you know, there's a consensus that needs to be improvement in public transport, or there needs to be regeneration of brownfield sites, or there needs to be environmental cleanup in a particular part of the city, then, you know, these big sporting events are a good way to achieve that. But then also it indicates that if cities can continue pulling off that trick year after year on future projects and future strategic goals, then they can really carry that kind of success through into a permanent legacy.
Yeah, no, that's good advice. The kind of putting it in, as always, putting it into the longer term considerations of how you put in place the fundamentals that ensure cities can continue to be successful and use events as stepping stones in order to do that. That's, you know, very good. Thank you very much, Anthony. Good to talk to you as always. You can find more information on sport and events and their role in city economies on our website, cinemacities.org. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of City Talks, brought to you by Centre for Cities. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher by searching Centre for Cities. Please rate, review and subscribe if you liked what you heard. You can also follow the centre on Twitter at Centre4Cities, or like us on LinkedIn for the latest updates on what the centre is up to. If you have any comments on the episode or suggestions for topics we should cover in the future, we'd love to hear from you. Do tweet us or send an email to info@centreforcities.org. The music was from Palace Fires by Johnny Foreigner, used with permission, and all rights are reserved.